My name is Garland Robinson. I want to address some areas of concern, especially when they relate to the home, to the husbands and wives, to the fathers and mothers and children in the home. One of the great concerns of parenting is the example we set in putting the church first in our lives. You remember how Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." You know, how often do we miss worship services to do something else? How often do we end up going to ball games and maybe family visits or travel or something else? Does that show our children that the church is first and foremost in our lives? Do we put forth every effort possible to attend every worship service, every Bible study period, every opportunity that we have available to us? If not, what does that say to our children? Whatever keeps us away is more important to us than worshiping God or studying His Word. That's what they understand from that. But someone suggests that we ought not influence our children in making decisions in matters of religion. But I ask, why not? The newspaper will. The television set will. The movies will. The whiskey industry will. All of those things will. The neighbors will. Their friends will. Denominations will. Politicians will. Schools will. So, are any of those things the right and proper influence? They may be, but most of the time they're not. So what should influence our children? The task that God has laid upon every family is that mamas and daddies are to teach and to train the children in the way they should go. We need to rethink some of our decisions relative to the influence that we have on our children and to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, showing them that the Lord comes first. The Lord's church comes first. And whatever else there is in the world, that is subordinate and second or third or somewhere on down the line, because the church is the first thing. And that's what Jesus teaches in Matthew 6 and verse 33. Another area of concern involves a matter of prayer. There are so many problems facing our young people today. And where are they turning for the solution of those problems? So often we find them turning to drugs, alcohol, guns, gangs. By the example they see in their parents, do they understand the power of prayer, the place that prayer has in the life of the child of God? Do they understand that, without a doubt, God is there for them? If we're down and out, we have a problem, where do we turn? We need to turn to God. Young people, children, ought to see that in parents. They see us turn to God. We read in Philippians 4 and verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." In Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, we read, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." We say that we believe in prayer, but would our children know because they hear us pray? Do our children hear God referenced only in Sunday school or worship services? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks." If they don't hear us call on God in our time of distress and trouble, will they ever learn to call upon God in their time of distress and trouble? We need, as parents, to use every opportunity to keep God before them. In the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, we find that the people of the day of Moses were told they were to teach and train their children in every capacity. When they were standing, when they were walking, when they lied down, when they rose up, the Word of God was to be ever before their eyes. They were to see it over the doorpost of the house. They were to wear it on their clothes. In other words, every waking moment, every hour of every day, it is appropriate to bring before their attention the Word of God, to know what the will of the Lord is, and to see our dependence upon God. Now, that's what prayer is. God talks to us in the Bible through His Word. We talk to God in prayer. Prayer is that we humble ourselves. We recognize our utter inability to take care of our own affairs. We depend upon God. We see God's superiority. We see God's majesty. We see how weak and frail we are. We depend upon God, and we humbly bow before Him, and we submit unto Him in prayer. So as parents, we take the opportunities every time. Whenever a child asks a question, we answer it, "Well, God says, the way of the Lord is." When we see the creation around us and we're out walking or doing things, the little things, we take opportunities to teach our children, "Well, God made this way. Look at the beauty. Look at the wisdom in it. How great is our God." And we humbly bow before Him in prayer and give Him acknowledgement and the respect and the honor, the reverence and worship that is due His high and holy name. And we do that in prayer, at least one of the ways, because we humble ourselves before Him and show His majesty in His great way. Another area of concern in the home, in that of parenting, is in regards to discipline, and so often the failure of discipline. In Proverbs 23, we read verse 13 and 14, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell." I know of parents who say they love their children too much to spank them. Such is simply saying they love them too much to help them stay out of hell. Oh, what a tragedy that is. Now, who believes that? The idea in this verse, when it talks about beating with the rod, that's not child abuse. That's not, you know, abusing them in any manner, but is lovingly, kindly showing them the way they ought to go. That certain things are inappropriate, some things are not right, and there's a consequence for following the wrong things. And discipline, caring, loving discipline, is the way that God has us to go. I'm not one, I do not have any sympathy whatsoever in abusing anyone or child molesters or such, but that's a far cry from here what this passage is talking about. We've just not stressed enough what God has to say about the matter. That's the problem. Dr. Spock has replaced God in this matter, and we need to learn better than that. The Hebrew writer speaks of fathers of our flesh which correct us, and we gave them reverence, Hebrews 12 and verse 9. You know why children obey parents when they have been spanked, they've been disciplined? It's because they know better than to do anything else. And in time, they learn the great lessons. Oh, I'd hate to think of where I'd be today if my mom and my daddy hadn't tore me up when I needed it. And I praise them for it. I thank them for it, because it was out of kindness and love and compassion. Care for me. Because they were pointing me in the way I should go. You let a child go to himself, he won't be long, and he'll be every kind of spoiled brat. He'll be mean. He'll be disobedient. He'll be in jail. I've seen young people, because of their attitude, because of their manner, because of the way they were raised, and thinking, even while they were in grammar school and getting on up to the middle school, and say, "Well, they'll be in jail one of these days." And I've seen that come true. They go to jail, commit crimes, because they've been able to let run wild. If they had loving parents or grandparents, someone to show them the way, point them in the direction they need to go, oh, how much better that would be. Our example of our children is so important. And you might have noticed that in each of these points that we've talked about today in this lesson. The example that we lead before our children and before our grandchildren is a great, great part. I remember hearing on a recording of Judge Sam Davis Tatum about a boy who had gotten into some serious trouble, drinking, taking an axe, and tearing up a cabin. The parents' explanation for the whole situation was that he had gotten in with the wrong crowd. But then upon further investigation of the matter, learning of the conduct of the parents in some areas, Judge Tatum concluded that the boy had gotten in with the wrong crowd. He'd gotten in with Mom and Dad because they had shown him that kind of behavior was acceptable. And what a sad commentary on the example that they had set before their own child. We can read the biblical accounts of men like Eli in 1 Samuel 2 and Jehoshaphat in 1 Kings 22, Ahaziah in 1 Kings 22, and we learn the difference between a good example and a bad example. Parents, you've got to realize that one of these days you will give an account of everything that God has entrusted to you, time and your possessions, opportunities, and your children especially. Parents, your child may forget your words. He may wander for a time from your influence, but he'll never forget your example and your attitude. His life, her life, is yours to mold. You are teaching your child religion. Is it the right religion or the wrong religion? You're telling them, showing them by example, either good or evil. You can't avoid it. Every word from your lips, every action of your life, every attitude of your heart, that's what makes up the curriculum that you're teaching them. And for better or for worse, your child is learning from you. Some are teaching their children to be indifferent to the church. They're giving them unforgettable lessons every week in how unimportant the church is. It isn't as valuable to some as an extra hour's sleep or an extra cup of coffee or an extra thing of this or that. But, on the other hand, you can teach and train your children in what is good and right. Show them, give them the influence, help them to see and develop the attitude, I want to do what's right, I want to be faithful to God, I want to go to heaven when I die. No matter what a parent says, the child will never forget what the parent does about God, or he doesn't do about God. Mother and Daddy, what is your child learning from you? You have the great influence to teach them and lead them in the right way or the wrong way. Won't it be the right way?